Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? It's time to get some answers, baby.
One more time. Give me one more, 60 more seconds. 60 more seconds. 60 more seconds.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
I'm in a makeshift studio this morning, so I'm trying to get everything set up. You know, one of the things, don't tell anybody, but I when I talk or when I do the show or give a talk or workshop, I'm always standing. And so I'm in a new studio. My laptop is in the Apple store being repaired, but that's neither here nor there. So my point is, I like to stand, and I was sitting down. And I said, "This just doesn't feel right. I need to stand up." So I have my, what do I have? This is just a basket, two baskets here, and I'm standing. And I'm, geez Louise, oh, us creatures of habit. Okay, that's enough of that. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist. That's right, I said it, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner. I'm going to throw in Oracle, but most importantly, a student, ongoing student. It is my job. You know, I don't even consider it a job. I consider it a blessing what the universe has gifted me with, meaning when I was younger, you know, remember blowing your candles out on your birthday cake and making a wish, I always wished for the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what it looked like, how it felt. I had no direction. I said, I just want to live to my potential. And the second thing I always wished for is I wanted to be happy. And this search, seeking, finding, discovering happiness, I've been called delusional, I've been called selfish, I've been called toxic, looking for this thing called happiness. The good news is I have the answers to the test. And one of my favorite things to do is just to share with anyone who's interested. And I'm not pretending to know everything about the topic. But after 45 years of studying this, I know a significant amount. Let me just start off with this thing called happiness. Some people don't even like the word happy, so let's get the words out of the way right off the bat. When I talk about happiness, I'm focusing on your personal vibration, your personal energy. You can feel your own energy. You can feel when you're flowy, when you're open, when you are receptive, when you are surrendering, and you can also feel when you're resisting. So when I talk about this happiness thing, it's a vibration, it's an energy of peace. It's an energy, a vibration of contentment. Everybody knows that. Everybody can relate to that, a vibration of contentment. And how can you, is it possible to experience more contentment along this journey, regardless of what life throws at you? So this the good news is it is a practice. Happiness, inner peace, this vibration of contentment is a practiced skill. What? You heard me. It's a practiced skill, meaning anyone can practice, and it's not like, I'm a football fan, and it's not like a small percentage of athletes that play football in college get to go into the pros. I think it's less than 2%. And it's the same type. It's the same type of. It's a practice. The more you practice, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes that the practice becomes your identity. What do you practice? You practice eliminating all of these programmed behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness. I'm up to 54 programmed behaviors that subtract from happiness. And there's levels to these behaviors. Level 1, level 2, level 3. Of course, level 1 are the behaviors everybody recognizes. Yes, if I eliminated blaming other people or blaming my circumstances for how I'm feeling or why I'm feeling a certain way, yes, that's going to add to your energy of contentment, your energy, your personal vibration of peace. It's going to add to when you let go of blaming. Your feelings, your emotions have nothing to do with anything external. Oh, by the way, buttons will be pushed, triggers will be triggered. I'm just letting you know that. And I'm not up here claiming that I don't have buttons, that I don't have triggers, but I definitely know where they're coming from and what to do when my buttons are pushed or I am triggered. It has nothing to do with the other person, what the other person says, or my circumstances. It has something to do with the program. All triggers, all buttons are from the past. And so if I'm triggered, if my buttons are pushed, know that I'm in the past with a story. Anyway, I digress. The number to call in if you want to speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And or if you're on Wisdom, you can just ask to join the show. So the topic today is, what is enlightenment? And again, this is coming from my perspective, but I would like to throw that question out to you. You know, the interesting thing is that the programs, I'm going to include myself in that too, the program people have this idea of goals accomplishing external things, finishing a book, or speaking on stages, or a podcast, whatever your goals, your intentions are. This show, what I focus on are internal goals, internal intentions, the goal or the intention to experience more inner peace, the goal or the intention to let go of resisting unwanted moments, the goal, the intention to let go of expectations. This, what I focus on are all internal. In other words, focusing on the person that I have control over, that I can do something, that I can make different choices, focusing on the person in the mirror. That's what this show is about. Because when I say happiness is a practice skill, all of the practice is done in the mirror. What? In the mirror. And that's one of the reasons why not too many people are rushing to the mirror. Oh, what can I do? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? How can I grow? An elephant isn't bothered by a gnat on his back. I used to say an elephant isn't bothered by a gnat. And when someone challenged me and said, well, if the gnat was in the elephant's eye, then that would be bothersome. Okay. Touche. You won that one. But a gnat on an elephant's back? My point is, it's my responsibility. I'm not going to speak for you, my dear. Uh-oh, what is this? Congratulations. You just received your first guest request. Tap on the number to review and accept. Oh, that's what happens when I don't wear my glasses. Hold on a second. Hold on, guests. Give me a couple minutes. I'm just warming up the crowd. Give me a couple minutes. Just a couple of minutes. If you feel inspired to. Where the hell was I? Oh, my goodness, I lost my point. Uh-oh. And, of course, I'm kicked out of this. Hold on, now I have to reconnect to. Okay, there it is. Woo! Telling you, different space, different office, everything. Right is left, left is right, up is down is up. Yikes. Okay, where was I? Back to practicing happiness as a practice skill. Okay, let me just back up just a little bit. When I say happiness is a practice skill, and anyone can practice, it really comes down to how much or how committed you are to the practice, or how much do you value inner peace or contentment or that thing we call happiness, which is all the same vibration. So, and what is your definition of happiness? And can you vibrate an energy of contentment even in the middle of life storms? Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Now, if anyone can disappoint you, my dear listener, there's only one reason. You want to let go of disappointment and heartbreak forever for the rest of your life? I got the answer. Practice having zero expectations. All expectations subtract from your happiness, from your contentment, from that vibration of peace. Zero expectations. That's another program behavior. And then blaming the circumstances. The circumstances have nothing to do with your feelings or emotions. We all feel all the emotions are all, I'm just speaking for myself, are all welcome, but I will be damned if I put a story behind why I'm feeling a certain way. There's a big difference in accepting the feelings, however you're feeling in any moment, and putting a story as to why you're feeling like that. I told you this is a show. Put your seatbelts on. Triggers, buttons will be pushed. And this show today is about enlightenment. And what the hell does enlightenment mean? What does it look like? What does it mean? Define it. And I'm going to share with you what I perceive and believe in enlightenment is, which is as simple as the truth. And this isn't about your truth, my truth, and then another truth. No, this is about universal truth. Universal truth. Let me hold on a second. Guest waiting. Let me do this. And click on that. Oops, uh-oh, that's what I did. Yep, here we go. All right, Welcome, 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 welcome to Reality Spirituality Radio, and I am speaking with Heather. Well, thank you so much for asking to join, and welcome to Reality Spirituality. What's your question and or contribution or comment?
Oh, I've got a little of everything. First, I want to say, hey, welcome to the live and having your first guest.
Yay.
I'm grateful to be breaking you in, Rebecca.
Well, no, you're not my first. You're my first guest of the day, of today's show.
Okay, I was just wondering because I've only had a couple guests, and I remember that the Wisdom app is a little tricky when it comes to accepting guests.
Mm.
And it sounded like you were having a little, moment there. But you're speaking my language, and I wanted to jump on and say I totally adore your definitions of happiness, of being around contentment. I authored a book back in 2012 called Happiness on Tap, and it was sort of a neurolinguistic perspective of it and how the brain works and all of that. And I love your more direct approach that it's looking in the mirror, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I really appreciate a fellow happiness club. I consider myself, without the ego, a global expert on the topic. I mean, 45 years of the study, and so when I talk about happiness, when I say it's a practice skill, it's like any other practice skill. The more you commit to the practice, the better the results. So then you just ask yourself, is contentment, is inner peace, is that even important? Because sometimes it's on a scale from 1 to 10, everybody doesn't think it's a 10. And I had to accept that, Heather, because I was years ago, I would think, yeah, everybody wants to be happy, of course, but that's just not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true. That's just not true.
You and me both, I totally get that as well, because I also thought exactly the same thing and was I was schooled.
Mm. Well, I learned my lesson from a movie called Con Air, a really bad movie. And in fact, there was a quote in that movie, and I was asking the universe, why do you have me watching this horrible movie? I do like Nicolas Cage, and I'll bring you up again if you have time. But I was watching this movie, Con Air, and there was one scene where Nicolas Cage was asking one of the murderers or rapists, he says, why is this man so angry? And the reply was, hold on a second, where's my, yeah, because I even had to look this up, Heather. Okay, so the reply was, this man is so angry that moments of levity actually cause him pain, give him headaches. Happiness for that gentleman hurts. And I learned that from watching Con Air, because I was thinking that before that everybody wanted to be happy. But this is really my whole foundation. As soon as you're born, you're given a name, a nationality, a religion, a race, a culture. Then you spend the rest of your life identifying and defending that program. So what I practice is putting a spotlight on the program, the program that we all received not only at birth, but even while growing up. So I don't know about you, but I had to learn how to compare myself with someone else. I had to learn that complaining, talking negatively about someone else subtracts from happiness. So the practice is just gradually putting a spotlight on all the program behaviors. I said I'm up to 54, and start eliminating them one by one and having patience with yourself and with the process.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how much what you shared with before about expectations being premeditated resentments had to come into play in that Con Air scene with that man. I mean, it sounds like he created a lot of expectations in his life, and that levity was taking him away from the outcome he wanted.
Well, I'm laughing only because I really don't. The concept was. Why everyone isn't really doesn't want to or need to or even gravitate to being happy. But delving any deeper into that, I could, my dear Heather, could care less. But what I, oh, there she goes. I'll bring you back on. But what I do want to say, Heather, is I'm going to read if you want to come back. Or you want to come back? I want to read, yeah, okay, good. Perfect. I want to read, when I said there's 54 program behaviors, thank you for coming back, Heather. There's 54 program behaviors. The book that I'm writing now, this is called Programmed for Unhappiness, and I said I have 54. So let me just read off the behavior that everybody, I would think, would agree subtracts from your happiness. Number one, I already said it, blaming anyone or the circumstances for how you feel. Number two, comparing yourself to other people. Three, trying to control anything or anyone outside of yourself. This is an obvious one, complaining. Talking negatively about what someone else is doing, also known as gossip. Thinking money or any external accomplishment, can buy or provide inner peace, contentment, or happiness. This is an easy one. Watching or listening to the morning, afternoon, or evening news. Believe it or not, a lot of people listen to the news, and it becomes an addiction to it. And so if I said you're going to be happier, you're going to feel lighter if you didn't watch the news, it would just be like cutting off their arm. No, they have to watch the news. So all of these behaviors can turn into an addiction. So that's number one. Taking anything personally. That's another big one. Taking anything personally. This is an impersonal universe. You look out in nature, and there's nothing personal when the lion eats the cubs of the lioness that he wants to mate with. There's just an impersonal universe. But man, the programming is everything is personal. You can hurt my feelings. You can offend me. It's just not true. The other one is worrying. I'm going through these a little bit quickly, only because I've said them a lot of times. But worrying. Here's my dear Heather. Do you worry?
Occasionally, yes, when I'm leaning into my edges.
Okay. So there's only two reasons why people worry. Number one, worrying is a program. You didn't pop out of the womb knowing how to worry. So the good news is if you learned it, you can unlearn it. And the other reason why people worry is lack of trust. You can't trust and worry at the same time. So choose one.
Yeah, it's true. I'm perpetually nodding my head at everything you're saying. I am. I'm a bobblehead doll right now. Yeah.
Well, great. And well, thank you for that. And then number 10 is fear. That's an easy one, being afraid. Here we go. The inability or the resistance to forgive, also known as holding a grudge. Oh, I was the queen of holding grudges. I could hold a grudge for years. And you know the interesting thing about it? I was proud. Well, my ego was proud that I could hold a grudge. And that's another one. Let's see. Just being critical of yourself or others. Uh-oh, here's another one. I had this one. This turned into an addiction, too. Needing to be right. I had that bad. Lack of personal growth. This is an easy one. Being impatient. That subtracts, too. Being impatient with yourself, being impatient with others. This is an impatient, you know, this impatience is another programmed behavior that was taught. We have patience for the babies that are born, and hurry up and start growing some teeth, start walking, start feeding yourself. No, we have patience for babies. We have patience for kittens and dogs. But how about having patience? Having patience for self, having patience for the process. And the other one is rushing. Of course, we all know that. When you can't, it's very difficult to feel this vibration of contentment when you're rushing. So when I say the show is reality spirituality, it is. It's just about real everyday life behaviors. And then eliminating the word should. I don't use the word should. I don't use the word mistake. There's one more. There's more. One more word I don't use. Should, mistake. But I use all the other words. I use them all the other ones. So Heather, I would now I went on a long talk speaking. I would like time's leaving. If you have time, I would like your definition or your perspective on enlightenment. If you would like to share.
How about in 10 more seconds?
Okay. Wow. See, okay, so let me share with you my definition, my perspective of enlightenment, especially since that's the topic of today's show. So let me share with mine, and then I want Heather's because I have talked for a while. My perspective is the ability to know the truth about this life. What? Well, what does that mean, the truth about this life? The truth of my existence. What is the truth? The truth is, this is my perspective, the truth is God, spirit, source, whatever you want to call it, consciousness, is having an experience through me. I am conscious energy having a human experience. And then when I really sit with that and I melt into that, it's so easy to let all of this shit go, all of the ups and downs of life. God wants to have this experience. The universe wants to have this experience. Why are you resisting this moment that you are saying is unwanted? And when you really get to, when I really got to that point, realizing it's not my will, it's not my will, and surrendering to God's will, whatever the universe intends to happen for me, with me, I'm good, universe. I'm good. Your turn, Heather.
Since you're me living this experience as the universe, mm-hmm. You've already answered.
Well, that was pretty good. You don't have anything to add?
I practice a similar belief. I'll go one different, and it's probably the same as well, since we're kind of having a similar experience this time around. I imagine, or I practice the belief, that I am one soul traveling through time, being born across time, not in any particular order, into different bodies, and basically, like you said, I'm the universe experiencing every single experience I could possibly have on life, on this planet, in different bodies, in different cultures, in different situations, learning different lessons, having different challenges, experiencing different joys and happiness. You pretty much said it all.
So you're saying that you are having simultaneous experiences, not just one experience, but you're having multitude experiences, correct?
Well, as humans, we're only linear.
Mm-hmm.
But as
yes.
The universe doesn't have to be linear.
Yes, that's right. But what? Now we have nothing to say since we agree on that. What's going on here? Hey.
So I was actually in a discussion about enlightenment with somebody the other day, and talking about how when I was a child I could see auras, but after I got out of adolescence, I couldn't see it anymore. And he said, "Well, now that you're more aware, more awake, so to speak, do you see them again?" And I said, "You know what? I have been resisting on purpose. And I don't know if you can relate to this, but I feel like I'm a bridge between people who are just on that edge of awareness that are still clinging to their, it's not my fault, you know, things are happening to me instead of for me. And I feel if I go too far into the aware, awake, enlightenment, whatever you want to call it, I will lose that ability to align or be approachable by people who are just working that edge
mm-hmm.
of awareness."
That is a good observation. And I call them lovingly robots. I said that. Did I say lovingly? One of the things that that I come to, because my son challenged me. He says, well, what are you, better than everybody else? No, not better, but I totally get what you're saying. And we're all avocados. We're all avocados. It's just some of us are ripe, and some of it's time. So my question to you is, what percentage of the population, because you're absolutely right, it's incomprehensible for some people that when it's not time for them, it's like I would be speaking a different language.
I'm in a homogenous world right now. I live in San Diego, which is kind of a mecca of liberal, but also, you know, conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running out of time, so I might have to jump on.
Yeah, come back.
To share this thought.
Yes, come back.
All right, ready? 10 more seconds.
Bam.
Ready?
You know what? I found, isn't that interesting how you can just click with somebody and just relate to someone instantly? And I just call that compatible energy, just compatible energy. I'm chilling up here with you. Okay, go, Heather.
All right, well, hold on. I got to remember what the question was.
We're talking about people and them relating.
Right, yeah. So one of the reasons I don't go full-on enlightened, full-on awake, aware, is because you can get so wrapped up in the pain of humanity when you're fully awake and like, okay, no more animal products. I can't even eat plants anymore because I love the bugs. Do you hear what I'm saying around that?
We have to
have an equilibrium. We have to have an equilibrium somewhere, and we have to decide where that spot is that we want to exist in, you know?
I do hear what you're saying, but I look at it differently. Because one of the things that I trust with me blindly is that everything is in order. And I don't look at the world with human eyes at all.
Right.
The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope.
Yeah, that goes back to what we were saying about the universe experiencing itself,
mm-hmm.
and that everything is here for a reason. It's here for the universe to have this human experience. And so I suppose if I look at enlightenment that way,
mm-hmm.
that it can all be seen as choice. I can decide, because it's my choice on how I want to experience this life, this time around, as the spirit of the universe.
Uh-oh, now we're talking, uh-oh, okay, so now you're talking about choice, so you're saying that we have free will?
Oh my gosh, did I say that, Rebecca?
Is that what you're saying?
There is some on a human level, because, you know, we're layers, right? We're levels of existence, and so on some levels, we do have choice, and on others, perhaps we don't.
Mm-hmm. That's nice and vague.
You know what? The more I know, Rebecca, the more I know I don't know.
Exactly. And I don't, you know, I'm doing this, I'm actually writing this whole chapter about, no, there is no free will. I mean, when this is just my perspective, when going from the subconscious to the understanding the subconscious and then the conscious, and then if you are deeply programmed, you know, you said something about worrying earlier. That's a program. And when you are programmed, do robots have free will? Can they choose something other than the program?
No, they cannot.
There you go. So,
but I do have a perspective of, you do shadow work. You may not know you do it, or maybe you do, but anytime you attempt to convince somebody of something, that they can choose happiness, there's a choice, right? You are going against their programming, correct?
Well, I don't believe that everyone can choose anything. I mean, if you're operating under a program, no. And so one of the things that I try not to do is these hypothetical conversations, really specific to the point. I know that there's two entities living inside of me. I have the ego, the one that's always telling me something's wrong. This moment isn't good enough. This moment needs more. That entity, the one that's the ego that's discontented in all situations, dissatisfied all the time. And then there's the universal side. So it depends on which entity I'm feeding. And I definitely know when it's my ego, because my ego is just is always has a problem, and there's always a story as to why I'm feeling a certain way. And I don't give it any power. I don't give it any, I've got my ego on a life support.
Tom Madsen looks at his right shoulder and says, hey, thanks for sharing, and then keeps moving forward anyway. And I love that. I think that's a great shortcut to move forward beyond what ego's telling us or shadow's telling us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and do you have another question? Do you have a specific?
I do.
Okay, perfect.
I would love to hear you share your idea around what a comfort zone is and your recommendations for how we move beyond our comfort zone in order to have what we want in life.
Uh-oh. Oh, she just opened up a new can of worms. You can come back if you want, Heather. In order to have what you want. No, she didn't say that. Well, this is my perspective, and you can come back if you want. This is my perspective. This thing about having what you want, having your desires met, who is the author of that anyway? Who is the entity that is wanting something more? I get it. We come here and we have desires. Well, I've let all desires and all wants go. My perspective is all of that is coming from the ego, and I will be damned if I give my ego any power to say that, oh, you desire. Let me give you an example. I told you my second book is coming out, The Program for Unhappiness. I mean, I think it's genius. 54 program behaviors isn't that interesting? One of the chapters says, one of the chapters about being offended, I'm offended, so what are you going to do about it? I mean, it's just, the book has a lot of answers to the test. That's what I'm going to say, answers to the test. It's just coming from my perspective for decades of the study. What was her question? Oh, wants and desires. Yeah, there was a time where I would want my book be a New York Times bestseller list. There was a time where I would want and desire to speak in front of thousands, if not millions, of people. And my dear Heather and anyone else listening, it was all a program to want. The program is to want more than what is happening in this present moment. And if I have any desires and wants, where are they coming from? They're coming from the future. I want desires and wants are all future thoughts, focus, behaviors. That's number one. Number two, I just said, what if, here we go, Heather, what if what I want and what I desire, and I say I'm using air quotes because I know who is behind that I, what if my ego's wants and desires are different than what the universe or what God or what source, whatever you want to call it, has planned for me? What do you think is going to happen? If the universe doesn't sign off on any of the ego's wants and desires, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. This is my perspective. So I've given up their goals, wants, desires. I have none. I have none other than what the universe drops in my lap. Now, that doesn't mean that I am not acting on inspired inspiration. Wow, that's crazy. That doesn't mean that I'm not inspired to act, because there are days when I am inspired to write a lot, inspired to connect, inspired to share a quote. a lot of inspiration, but if I'm not inspired, it's very, very difficult for me to act. And there's, and I can feel the difference between an ego, the ego inspiring me, because usually ego, this is going to be hard, this is going to be tough, this is a lot of work, I'll work at it, work hard. No, no. A fish doesn't have to work hard to swim. A bird doesn't have to work hard to fly. So I don't buy into, this is just me, I don't buy into this work hard. I just don't. But what I do surrender to is whatever the universe wants, whatever the universe deems for me, whatever my path is, whatever my destiny is exactly what I am wanting and desiring. Whatever the next moment is, whatever the present moment is exactly what I'm wanting and desiring. I don't, so the practice is, and this is the level three, so the practice is being okay, being at peace with uncertainty. Being at peace with not knowing. Heather talked about it earlier. Not knowing. No, I don't know, and I don't need to know. I trust, and when I look back, if I look back, the plan has been executed perfectly. Your plan has been executed perfectly to get to this present moment right here. The plan, the destiny, the journey is all in order. So I don't have any desires or any wants anymore other than what the universe desires and wants for me. I don't know how that feels to anyone, but that's my practice. And let me just share this one. This isn't my idea. I saw this on YouTube before. There was a gentleman talking about the past and how people holding on to the past. So he says, get a water bottle. Hold on to a water bottle. I'm actually holding my water bottle right now. And he said, hold on to it. This is what? How much is this? 16 ounces. Yep, 16 ounces. 16.9 fluid ounces. And he said, hold on to that water bottle. Hold on to it for 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, and then you can feel, of course, the water bottle getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Hold on to this water bottle for 2 hours, 5 hours, getting heavier and heavier. And that's just a reminder of holding on to yesterday, holding on to the past, holding on to yesterday's programming. The only reason why I'm triggered or the only reason why my buttons are pushed is because I have a deep thought pattern based in the past from yesterday. If I was truly living in the present moment without any past input, I wouldn't be triggered, ever. So the practice is to gradually eliminate all of these program behaviors, put a spotlight on them, and let them go. But like any other practice, the practice is constant. You don't get a day off. You don't get a vacation off. It is constant. When I say, how committed are you to experiencing more contentment and inner peace? And if you say 10, if 10 is your number, there's no going back. Once you take the red pill, there's no going back. Back to this enlightenment. And if anyone else wants to join and give their perspective or what they're feeling, or scratch the feeling, what they believe enlightenment is. Again, the number to call in and speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Heather, I also would love for you to connect with me off the show. I want to send you an article that I wrote. I've talked about it a lot. And so I don't want to say it again, but if you can connect with me, DM me, and I'll or you can find it on my, you know what, you can find it on my LinkedIn. I wrote an article, and it's about this practice and what I practice and how this practice works. So getting back to enlightenment, and everything is always in constant flux, movement, growth, expansion, evolving, it's always changing. So are you, my dear listener, comfortable with a shift in energy, a shift in change, a shift in your perspective? In fact, I'm asking you, when is the last time you've shifted your perspective about a deep-seated belief that you've had? See, the growth is about, at least this is what I see it as, going deep, digging deep, finding those weeds, air quotes, weeds, or finding those programs that don't serve you. And I have to say that most of them don't serve the individual. Let me get to another level of program behavior. This is level two. This is a good one. Noticing what someone else is doing, making a judgment about it. When I say noticing what someone else is doing, I mean noticing anything. Stay out of these people's business. You'll be happier. Know that each individual is on their own particular journey, their own unique journey. We are as different as our fingerprints, their own unique journey. And unless I am asked a question, Rebecca, how do I, Rebecca, when do, and let, usually it's the how do I question. If I am not asked a question, my lips are sealed, baby. These people, I used to think, I need to save the world. Oh, hey, hold on, world. I'll save you. Hold on, world. I'm coming. Here she comes to save the day. You know that Mighty Mouse is on his way. You know that I can't even believe I'm singing a Mighty Mouse song. That is crazy. And most people won't even know who Mighty Mouse is. That's even crazier. That was one of the original OG superheroes, Mighty Mouse. Hold on a second. Well, I got all choked up on that. Mighty Mouse. Oh, my goodness. Where was I? Oh, thinking that the world or people need saving. One of the things that I practice is just being an example of the universe. What does that mean? Being a human example of the universe. What does that mean? One of the biggest gifts that I can give, that anyone can give another person, is acceptance without judgment. Can you imagine? Do you know how that feels? Do you know how that feels to be in the presence of another human, and they've accepted you, and they've accepted you without judgment? And that means there's no suggestions, there's no, you know what you could do, none of that. Total acceptance, just like the universe does. It's not an easy practice, but it's a very fulfilling, rewarding. I know these are programmed words. It's satisfying. It's a very calming practice to accept others, to accept the present moment. The other, when you're talking about level twos, a level two behavior, program behavior that subtracts from happiness is, or is that, that lack of accepting, having a judgment, living in the past, living in the future, all expectations. You want to get rid of disappointment and heartbreak forever? Eliminate all expectations. All of them. I was talking to someone in my, I teach the classes, The Truth About Happiness, at one of the colleges here, and the college is here for the elderly, the senior citizen, 55 plus and older group, the old people, and which I just happen to be in that group now. So teaching those classes, one student said last week, we were talking about planning and planning lunch. So someone wants to, let's have lunch on Friday. Let's have lunch next Friday. And I said, oh, no, I can't plan lunch a week in advance. I operate just by inspiration. I don't know how I'm going to feel until Friday morning whether or not I want to have lunch with you or have lunch at all. So unless I'm getting on a plane or I have a doctor's appointment, something of that nature, I'm not making any plans. It's really in the moment being inspired. Yes, I feel like it. No, I don't. And one of the things that this woman said, she looked at me like I just told her that I wanted to set her and her family on fire. She said, she says, you're killing me. How could I ever plan anything with you if you don't make plans? I just don't. And it was such a concept, such a different concept that people don't plan or don't have plans. And I'm not saying that having plans, there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying I don't plan. It flows, the not planning anything keeps me out of, now I'm obligated, I said I was going to have lunch 2 weeks in advance, and then on the day I don't feel like it. So in other words, to combat that situation, no, I'm not going to plan. And in fact, one of my friends who's grandfathered in, because if I had met this person now or even 5 years ago or 10 years ago, the energy is incompatible, but this person is grandfathered in now. And I'll never forget, it was summer, this summer was July, and there's a Formula One NASCAR race in Las Vegas, here in Las Vegas, and he wanted to attend, and he's saying, and this was, I think we were talking about it in August or July, and he says, November, it's going to be in November, so you want to have dinner, you want to plan for November? I couldn't stop laughing. I'm not going to plan anything in November, unless it's a trip or unless it's a seminar, unless it's something on that level. No, in my personal life, I'm not making any plans, and that's one of the reasons when I talked about knowing who you are, knowing yourself, that's a big, big plus in knowing who you are, knowing what brings you peace, and I'm talking about internal peace. Knowing yourself is huge. If you don't know, and that's another study. When you don't know who you are, what you like, what you and I'm going deeper than what you like, what you dislike. I'm not talking about, well, you like spaghetti and this one likes scampi and this one is a day person and this is a night person. I'm really talking about a deep core. Who are you? And I'm here to tell you that you are more than what you think that you are. You are more than this programmed identity that you have. This Rebecca L. Norrington, my name, that's a name that was given to me. But there's more. The identity is even deeper. You are more than what you believe, more than your titles, more than what you've been doing. In other words, embrace being more And just because, I'm just speaking for myself, and just because, oh, Rebecca wouldn't do that, just because I wouldn't do it in the past, just because I wasn't interested in the past, doesn't mean that I'm not going to be open to it, anything in the future. So this being open to all different types of possibilities, being open to all of life's experiences, stay open. I don't even know how I got on that topic, but enlightenment is the ability to be and stay open. Stay open, be open. You see both of my arms are outstretched. Eyes are closed, outstretched. There are things that I wouldn't have done years ago, but this identity that says, that's not what you do, that's not who you are. I'm here to say, I'm here to shatter that. I'm saying that this identity that only says that I will behave in this certain way or not behave. Any questions or any comments, the number to call in and speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And if you wanted to read that article, I did post it on my LinkedIn. It's under articles, my LinkedIn, which is Rebecca Norrington. And the title of the article is A Moment. Let's see, what is the title? Oh, let's see, what's the exact title? Come on, you've said it for a million times. Okay, it's A Moment in the Life of a Toxic, Selfish, Delusional, and Unimportant Happiness Specialist. A Moment in the Life of a Toxic, Selfish, Delusional, and Unimportant Happiness Specialist. It's on my LinkedIn page in the articles. And also, there's a selfie that goes with it that I just added. Back to our topic of enlightenment. Enlightenment, my perspective, is a knowing of the truth. The purpose for this experience, the purpose for this life, the purpose for your life, meaning to experience. And this life is about a being, how the ability to just be, as opposed to do. I've got to do. And I know the world says do. The world says do. The world says accomplish. The world says achieve. The world says stack up a lot of things behind your name. This is what you did. Oh, no, don't even get me started with this. The world says legacy. Uh-oh. All of that. And I'm here to tell you that enlightenment has nothing to do with any of that. My perspective. Enlightenment is knowing the truth about the journey. And when you do, the shoulders begin to fall, the energy begins to slow down and calm down. The things that happen along the path are all okay, accepted, and embraced without any resistance. This is unwanted. No, it's all wanted. It's all desire. It's all perfect. All of it. The world teaches something else. The world teaches this this race, this search for success. What is the definition of success? Well, let me just share with you this. It has nothing to do with an accomplishment. It has nothing to do with how many quote unquote it hurts me to even say it. It has nothing to do with how many lives or have been influenced. And let me just speak for myself. How many lives have been influenced? No. The purpose for me is how many times, how often can I vibrate that feeling, that personal energy of contentment? How often? How often? All the time? 100%? 99%? 80%? How often can I vibrate the energy of contentment? That's it. Period. There's nothing else. That, my friends, that, my dear audience, is my version of enlightenment. Now, what is it? And it's not sexy. It's not, there's no 4th of July fireworks behind it. There's no award shows. There's no trophies given for it. In fact, I'm going to start giving some trophies for the most contentment, the most contented person on the planet. There's none of that fanfare. It's a very subtle, quiet, almost impossible to even sense or feel. Very quiet, very subtle, has nothing to do with anything happening, has nothing to do with an external plan that goes well or one that goes that doesn't go well. It has nothing to do with the outside world. It's more than I could have ever imagined, this vibration of contentment. And, you know, I'm 67 years old. At 67, yeah, I said it. At 67, I wouldn't go back. Everything is in order, and everything has been in order, and everything will be. And there is a practice of trust, surrendering, and letting go without resisting anything that happens. Including customer service. We talked about that last week. But not resisting anything. And you know, this is the thing. If you ever find yourself in having a challenge, oh, we all do, having a challenge, the challenge doesn't have to change. The circumstances don't have to lift. All change energy can shift in an instant with a different perspective. So the practice is to practice coming up with more than one perspective all the time. And if you can't, just hands up, palms up, I trust. I trust, blindly trust that whatever is happening is happening is happening to serve me. Let it go. Thanks. Thank you, universe. And sometimes you don't have to thank them all the time because sometimes the shit isn't. Thanks a lot, universe. For the hurdles and the roadblocks and the brick walls. Sometimes I don't feel like thanking the universe for all of that. But I definitely always trust that whatever is put in front of me is there for a reason. Let's see. More level two, having a sense of urgency. Oh, here we go. Having a sense of urgency that something needs to change now. Except, of course, we're talking about real danger. Wanting something to change. It has to change now. This isn't right. Come on. Change it. And this is another program, waiting. How about this one? Waiting for something else to happen or to manifest in order for you to feel better. Waiting for a manifestation, waiting for something to show up so that you can shift or so you can feel better or you can feel different or you can feel more content. There's no waiting. You are either vibrating an energy of satisfaction in any moment or dissatisfaction. There's no waiting. It's a program that you're waiting. And I'm telling you, if you're dissatisfied in this moment, I've said it a million times, you're going to be dissatisfied in the future moments too. And I got my ego on a tight leash. It is not in control unless I said, okay, run around a little bit. Let's see what you got. But it's all conscious. It's all conscious decisions. Oh, okay. Well, does anyone have any questions, comments? Want to join in? Now's the chance. Now's the time. What do they say? When you get married or rest, or anyone have any objections to this marriage? If not, I pronounce Emmanuel. Yes. Yes. Welcome. I have a guest that's waiting, and voila. You spell your name, is it pronounced Lois?
Yes, it is.
Ah, okay. Greetings. Welcome.
Greetings. I listen to you a lot, okay? I don't get a chance to come up and talk, but I was getting ready for my thing at 11, but you came on after my daughter, and I didn't. I was too far away from the phone to turn it off, so I caught the last end of it. I was like, oh, it's Rebecca. Okay. But, yes, I'm loving it because happiness is practice. You have to practice the emotions. You get to choose them. You know, you may feel something, but you get to choose what you run with.
Well, you know what I'm going to say? I don't know if I can choose my emotions, but I definitely can feel. I can choose not to attach a story to my emotions, but sometimes emotions, I'm just going to speak for myself, emotions for me, they come and go. I mean, I can look at something and, so
that's how I feel about feelings. I think feelings are what come and go, and what I emote is up to me.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see what you're saying.
So I can choose what I emote. Okay, I can feel anything, and I do feel everything, okay, because I'm a human being,
okay,
and I recognize all of the multitude and multifaceted being that I am, and I can feel everything it is, but when I decide to make an action and move in that energy and motion, that emotions are, that's me. And that's something that I have the ability to have control over, but I have to practice, okay, that control. It's not, don't come naturally, because the tape response, the reaction to the feeling, the story find the feeling and all that kind of stuff, that comes naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But when you just let yourself feel what you feel and then decide how you're going to move with that, okay, you ain't got to move with the feeling. And I learned that a long time ago, because I had a lot of emotions.
You know what? And everything, when you're talking, my whole body has been chilling up. You know, I get chills when I hear the truth or speak the truth. My whole body was chilling up. And I like the way that you said that. And you're right. When you talked about feelings and emotions, you said feelings, and you said that's natural. Well, what it is, it's a program. It's you program to feel offended or upset or hurt,
yes,
or all of that. Yes. Okay, we're on the same page.
Yes, and you get to choose. You get to choose what to emote from whatever it is you're feeling. You can choose to express compassion. You can choose to ignore or say that it's not important, and that's pushing it under the carpet. But you can choose to say, oh, this means that, you know. And the thing is that what means something that you ain't going to mean the same thing to the other person, because I've said a lot of things that other people have misread so totally, completely wrong, because we weren't on the same page and on the same thinking level. Like, just like I just said, the emotions and feelings, and then you said, no, I can say, and then I had to break it down a little bit further because I knew we were on the same page.
Mm-hmm. And You know what else is that is important that you said? Okay. Now, because I don't believe that everyone has a choice only because of the program. If the program is running them, then how do they have a choice? So with your awareness, first of all, self-awareness, then you can definitely make choice. But some of these people, if they're cut off on the freeway, it's automatic action. And all that automatic action is robotic, is a program.
Yeah, but every program has the ability to be overridden. And
yes.
The thing is that if you feel some type of way about any damn thing, I'm using my language, but if you feel some type of way about any damn thing, that's a program that needs to be overridden.
Yeah.
Because you ain't flowing smoothly, because you shouldn't be feeling any type of way about any goddamn thing, because
yes.
You're supposed to keep being.
And I love the language, honey. I use the same language, too, and thank you for yes. You aren't supposed to be feeling any damn way. Yes, exactly.
Anyway, because everything is just is. It's like it's not neither good nor bad. We assign that crap to stuff that causes us to emote, to feel something, to emote something, to do it. And the thing is, when we realize we don't like how we feel, that's the signal. That's the green light for the change. Okay, the red light is all the icky, icky, nasty feelings where you want to hurt somebody, and then you...
Oh, come back if you have time. If you have time, come back. Oh, good. Okay, hold on. Okay. Oh, I'm chilling up. My mouth is hanging open. Yeah, let's go.
But, yeah, so if you're feeling all these different things and it's uncomfortable and it doesn't feel right, that's because you are going against the true person that you are, the true essence, the true spirit that you are. Because anytime you move away from the heart, you feel funky. Mm-hmm. I call it some type of way because it could be over-exuberant
mm-hmm.
and it'd be not good enough, not good for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be under, but the thing is that if we just experience things just as they are
mm-hmm.
and not assign a story to them, we don't have anything to transmute. So we have to transmute all these stories that we've assigned all this garbage to because we prejudge the situation. Okay,
yeah.
Now me, I prejudged when I was being raped and less than abused. I prejudged that to be the worst thing that ever can happen to a human being. Okay, but now, in retrospect, at 62, and I don't mind saying it either, at 62, I'm like, shit, that was the very best thing to happen to me because look how I grew. Look how many thousands and thousands of people that I've helped since I was 17 starting in the counseling field be able to heal and come to a newness of self. And I wouldn't have been able to do that had not all that happen and all the other stuff that's happened since that, you know, and have been able to transmute it to use the energy of it and turn it to love. Because I even used my PTSD girlfriend. I got straight A's in graduate school because I couldn't sleep and I was hypervigilant.
Oh,
I remembered everything. So we can always transmute the energy of anything that we went through because the feelings that we had made us come up with a story that where we emoted something and it released into our biochemistry, released into adrenaline and norepinephrine and all that kind of stuff, depending on what it is, what we thought, okay? And then it shifted the vibration in our body and causes our bodies to get diseased if it was negative. But the same thing with this happiness thing. If we practice shifting it and starting to receive where the diamond is in the rough, breaking away the coal and shaping it and getting to those facets so we can really see it clearly, we can actually transmute the energy of anything because everything is working for us and through us, not to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's that part I realized, that's when I realized, hey, you know what? I can just shift this by changing the way I think about it because I can sit here right now in this kitchen getting ready to do this podcast and love it, and I'm in Hawaii, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching the waves. I am feeling that water on my feet, looking at that lava flow into that ocean. I'm there. and I can feel all the way there. So if I have the ability to do that, and I'm sitting in the kitchen, or you have the ability to watch a movie, and you get all caught up in it and getting mad because the characters are being disrespected, you can do this for you. That's why TV had to get cut off, you know, for a time so that I can see what was my thoughts and what was being programmed into me. You know, so it's a matter of, hey, we have to be vigilant about, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. The Word was God. That means that Word created just like God does. Okay? And not the Bible, the Word. That's just some of the words. Okay? And they're just telling stories of how people use their words. Because those words are energy, and they created wars. They created wars on the wars on the outside and wars from within. And we do this to ourselves. And then if we've been like me, I was abused so many years of my life till I had an absence of an abuser. That program ran, and I abused myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when we come to know that, we can clear it up. And when we feel any type of way, we got to know that emotion or that feeling is our emotional guidance system. It's telling us, oh, you're moving away from the bullseye. The bullseye is love. The bullseye is compassion. The bullseye is kindness. The bullseye is this. Mm-hmm. And if you know that the other body is reflecting what you are on the inside, that you're projecting it out there and giving it back to you like a boomerang, then you really get a good understanding that, hey, you're creating the stuff by the stories you're telling and the things you're judging. But I love you, Rebecca, and I got to go because I think I'm out of time and I can't.
Well, I love you too. Let's see. Hold on a second. I gotta connect with me. Connect with me. Oh, yeah. Connect with me. You know, I was chilling out with her. You know, and I could just sit here and just feel so emotional and just happy tears. Only, and I'm not even gonna give a story, but just I just feel. Yeah, I'm having a moment, and I'm not going to describe it. It's indescribable. It's just an overwhelmment with the energy and the just overwhelmment. Sometimes it's always very satisfying, rewarding, exciting to connect with people that speak the same language. And I don't even know how to explain it. Speak the same language. I really don't like that. Speak the same language, but get it. Get me, I get them, you know, just yes, get it. And we all don't agree on all of it. We all have different perspectives, and that's okay too, because the practice is really acceptance of all. And we're talking about the bullseye is love, the bullseye is kindness, the bullseye is who you were when you were born, who you are. Now you're the same. And who are you? And who are you before the programming? Before all of this, if you want to call it garbage. And it's getting back to really who you are, which is just open. And in fact, let me just do this. I talked about the behaviors that subtract from happiness. Let me throw in the non-programmed behaviors that add to inner peace, contentment, and happiness. And that's just having yay, someone else. Truly, Julie. Hi, my Truly Julie. So good to chat with you again. Truly Julie, one of my...
Talk to you.
Yes. What's up, Truly Julie? What is your definition or what is your perspective on enlightenment?
Well, I have an agreement with you, actually. is I was talking to lovely Mina today, and I was talking about finding me after all the experiences that I've had, all the training, you might say, all the training, which, you know, is another word for programming, really. But all the way through, there was this lovely little life essence, and her name, if she's going to be named, is Julie. And Julie went through every experience, every point of training and programming. And one day, Julie was sat on her bed, and she let go of every thought she had. She let go of all sensations and feelings and came across herself, the same self that was always in existence before all of the programming and all of the training. And when you meet that person, i.e. when I met me, oh my goodness, wasn't it a relief? Wasn't it a relief that I could recognize myself through it all? That essence, that lovely, you know, you almost couldn't put words on that life essence, you know. But if I could, I'd describe it this way. A softness, a innocence, a fearless, inquisitive soul. Those are the things that I recognize in Julie, the essence that is Julie. And it's been there the whole time. But it's been pushed and squashed and directed. It's been made to feel less than, sometimes more than, sometimes seeking, searching, sometimes thinking we've got it all in the back.
Julie, what is the current challenge that you're having now?
What current challenge am I having?
Yes.
I've got to start a new job.
Okay.
But that's fine.
Anything else? I mean, I heard what you said. Beautiful, sounds great. But one of the things that I really like to do, and you've always been very open to sharing, is this: what, you know, reality, spirituality. What's happening? What is the challenge? What do you practice when you are challenged? That's what I really, yeah. So what is the challenge, a current challenge? I mean,
the current
I remember.
Challenge is limbo. Limbo is the current challenge.
Perfect. So what you're talking about is this limbo thing is another, is something else, like uncertainty. Is that what you mean to?
Absolutely everything. Is uncertainty.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And so, thank you for that. And so, see, that is the practice. The practice is being at peace, being okay with uncertainty. This ego wants to know when, wants to know how, wants to know what's around the corner. And so the practice is, and I really, which is one of the most challenging, is to be okay with not knowing, being okay with uncertainty. And in fact, that's one of the biggest, that was one of the biggest problems when everybody was in the lockdown, this uncertainty, lack of control, I can't control, now I'm stuck here, or whatever this experience was for years, a couple of years.
The lack of know, K-N-O, whatever
you're
spelling.
Yeah,
And so
that practice is being okay with not knowing. See, my ego will stick on me and stay on me and say, you need to know something, and I'm here to tell you, I don't know shit. And I'm okay. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know, and I don't care that I don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, 6 months from now, 5 years from now. I don't know, and I'm okay. The ego dies a death when you tell the ego, when you tell it, I'm okay with not knowing, ego. I know you're not okay with it, but who I am, I'm okay. I practice being okay with uncertainty. What happened? Oh, I must have. Oh, that's what happens when I get all into it and my eyes start closing and eyes rolling back. Back, yay, truly Julie. Okay, so back to being okay with uncertainty and practice.
Yes.
And so the solution is, because I love the problem solution, the solution is you don't have to do anything, truly Julie. Just put your hands
up.
You put your hands up and you ask the universe, universe, how do I find peace in uncertainty? How do I experience contentment? How do I experience peace with and contentment with uncertainty? And how do I let go of being okay? How do I let go of my ego needing to know, wanting to know? And then you let it go. That's all you have to do.
And there's a song that used to go with my in my world that I used to sing quite often in times of my ego telling me that I needed to know the, what the next steps were,
mm-hmm.
how I could influence and all of this stuff. And it's this, que sera, sera.
Que sera, so sing it with me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. That was fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right there. That is the one thing. But to add to it as well is when you find that you're in that space of complete safety and comfort in not knowing, then the next thing to look at is other people around you, which is what I found, that question me about being all right with not knowing. This is another thing. This is from an outside, external, into my lovely sort of essence that is. It's, look, you do need to know, how are you going to do this? How are you going to keep yourself?
Well,
you've got this essence as well, which you also then have to just allow.
Well, how about this? And okay, put your seatbelt on for this one. But the only reason why put your seatbelt on, and you may need a crash helmet too. Well, you won't need a crash helmet. You won't need a crash helmet for this one, but definitely a seatbelt. If anybody is questioning, let me just speak for myself. But if anybody questions me about what, how I'm doing, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, guess whose fault that is? That's my fault for giving them information in the first place. Some people don't even know my name. My nickname is Pancake. Some people don't even know my real name. And the reason why I don't share with people is because of that possibility that there is going to be a misconception, miscommunication. I mean, it's inevitable when you're talking about program people, they're going to have program questions.
Yeah,
so,
because what happens is you're sparking up in them their fear.
Well,
so I just leave them with it. No answer from me. I'm just going to continue, you know, living the way that I do and being at peace with not knowing. And just, you know, all I can say is watch this thing. See what happens.
Mm. Well, but again, I can't say what the other person there, you know, it's their fear. I'm not going to diagnose anyone else because I used to diagnose everybody. I knew what was wrong with everybody.
Yeah, but I'm only going from my perspective when I say
gotcha.
Yeah.
So for my practice, and thank you so much. See, you're always open. Thank you for that. But my practice is I'm not sharing. and then I'm going to wrap up the show. There is I'm moving into a new home in the next couple of months. And one of the things that I get from program people, you got to be excited. You must be excited. Aren't you excited? All of this, and it's coming from, scratch that. I'm really going off on a tangent. The point is, there are program reaction, there are program, the programming is so deep that people don't even realize that they're what they talk about is coming from a program. You know,
yeah.
Anyway, what a lot of great information sharing. Lois, truly Julie, Heather, wow. My cup is full. My cup runneth over. I appreciate every single person that contributed. I love the honesty and the openness. I say we are more alike than we are different. We are more alike than we are different, especially on this, you know, living this out with the relationships, just life. And I really do humbly, as humble as I can, my hands are together in the prayer position. I appreciate each and every one of you listening and the ladies that joined the show. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. And you can go to my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. I'm on LinkedIn. Go to LinkedIn, and there is an article that I've shared a million times already. It's called A Moment in the Life of a Toxic, Selfish, Delusional, and Unimportant Happiness Specialist. The other thing is follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. On YouTube, I have a few YouTube videos, and I also have the interview that I did. This is totally nothing to do with the spirituality, but the interview I did in May about what happened and what legal battle that I am still in with the Probate Commissioner of Clark County in Nevada. It's the backstory of how the handyman was gifted the family house after my mother died. Anyway, that's on my YouTube channel too, with some spiritual videos. But I'm planning on updating everything. The book that I'm writing now, it's already at the editor. Supposedly, it's going to be coming back. The editor is supposed to be finished with it this week, called Program for Unhappiness. I am excited to share that with you. When it's finished, when it's published, let's see, website, Twitter, RL Norrington, Instagram, Reality Spirituality. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. My favorite quote from Abraham is, remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist. That's right, I said it, Global Happiness Specialist. And remember, happiness is a practice skill. And I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace, the more contentment, the more balance you will feel. And every moment that you are living reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening. I'm trying to click on the theme song, and it's not working. Come on, theme song, work. There we go.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
poverty, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Poverty, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality.